Welcome to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast for corporate refugees who want to do more of what they love and get paid what they're worth. I'm David Schreiner Kahn, your guide and community builder. Smashing the Plateau is more than just a podcast. We're a platform offering resources, accountability, and camaraderie to high-performing professionals who are making the leap from the corporate career track to entrepreneurial business ownership. If you'd like to learn more about how you can do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth, go to smashingtheplateau.com or email us at info@smashingtheplateau.com.
Once you get clear on that, then you can really understand whether or not consulting or going out and starting a business is really the right decision for you for the long term.
On today's episode with Chuck Cooper, we dive into the essential and sometimes overlooked journey of succession planning, legacy building, and the emotional transitions that come with running and eventually letting go of a business. You'll hear real-life stories about navigating unexpected challenges, the importance of listening to expert advice, and how having the right support can make all the difference during pivotal moments. We'll explore why so many businesses struggle to sustain themselves through generations, what business owners can do to ensure a smooth transition, and how community and self-awareness play a powerful role in entrepreneurial success. Whether you're just starting out, preparing for the next phase, or anywhere in between, this episode will deliver practical wisdom and inspiration to help you move forward with confidence. Now let's welcome Chuck Cooper. Chuck is the president of Whitewater Consulting, an HR advisory firm that helps small and mid-sized businesses maximize their people potential. A certified exit planning advisor and author of the best-selling book, The Family Business Blueprint, Chuck guides owners through succession planning, leadership transitions, and legacy building. With a passion for aligning people strategies with business goals, Chuck brings a unique blend of insight, empathy, and practical experience to every conversation, making complex transitions feel possible and purposeful. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, David. I've been looking forward to this conversation.
Me too. Let's start off with your own backstory. What is that? What's the backstory to Whitewater Consulting?
The backstory to Whitewater is several years ago, I went on a canoe trip to Canada with three other guys. So there was four of us who got in a pickup. We drove about 1,800 miles up into the central part of Canada on a three-week trip that we were going to, where we were navigating the lakes and the river system in Canada. And about the midpoint of that trip, I think it was day 15, we were having lunch. It was a beautiful Friday afternoon, and we were looking at our maps because we had no cell phones. We had no technology with us. In fact, we hadn't seen anyone for the full 15 days that we had been out from the time we started the trip. And on day 15, we were having lunch, and we were looking at the maps, and we knew we had two sets of rapids that were just ahead of us. And rather than unloading the canoes and carrying everything around, we decided, based on the conditions and the water levels, that we could shoot through those rapids without a problem. And so we began that journey after lunch, and we went through the first set of rapids. I was in the front part of the canoe, in the first canoe going through. So we basically, we bounced off a couple rocks, but nothing significant at all, and got through that. And usually when you go through the rapids, the water starts to slow down. In this particular case, it never did slow down. It actually continued to pick up. And so as we were trying to begin to really consider what our options were, because we felt like there might be something more ahead than what we had anticipated. And so we went around the bend and we started to hear this roar at the other end. And we knew at that point that more than likely it was a bigger set of rapids than what we thought, or even something worse. And my partner and I, we began to paddle, and we were paddling to try to get out of the current and also to back up versus trying to go forward. And the current continued to pick us and move us in a way that where we were sideways, and the current headed toward this next set of rapids. And fortunately, one of the guys in the back canoe had been through a very, very similar experience about 3 years before that. And so he began giving very, very specific instructions to both myself and to my partner in the canoe on when to paddle, where to paddle, and how to navigate out of that that situation. It took us a couple of minutes, but once we were able to really follow his instructions, we were able to get out of the current and actually get over to the shore into the calm water about 40 yards before what we thought was the second set of rapids was actually about a 20-foot waterfall. And so when I think about that story and I think about, you know, as a consultant that is helping business owners navigate their journey of being a business, basically navigating their job of being an employer, I wanted to take some lessons that I learned through that experience. One is having real life experience is really important, but taking the knowledge and the wisdom that you gain from that experience and being able to communicate that in a way that provides clarity, that's clear and is concise, and that you can deliver with confidence, can really have a major impact on someone's life. And in this particular case, could have very well saved our life. So again, as I started to formulate the idea of putting together Whitewater Consulting, I drew from that story and that experience to help walk alongside my clients through their journey of being an employer.
Thank you for sharing that story, Chuck. And one thing that strikes me is, yes, it is very analogous to what happens in many consulting relationships. One of the key ingredients to the successful outcome is that you listen to the advice you were given.
Being coachable and being agile is very, very important in that situation.
And I know it's a common challenge for consultants when they see what may be something that's potentially disruptive or disastrous looming ahead, getting either a prospect or a client to pay attention and to listen and to act can be challenging. What words of wisdom do you have in your experience to help both consultants and clients kind of navigate that relationship so that it provides the best possible outcome?
I think from the consultant perspective, I think it's really important to be able to have some clarity around what your ideal client profile is. I know from myself in Whitewater Consulting, I have basically five boxes that when I've talked with the business owner that I need for them to be able to check through that first conversation. The first one is they have to be an employer to a certain size. So basically, they need to have between 10 and 500 employees. That's the first box. Second box is they need to have the resources to be able to invest in the services we're going to be bringing to them. But then the focus then shifts over to the business owner. They have to be coachable. They have to be open to new ideas, and they have to value their people. And if they can check those three boxes along with the other two, then we have a reason to continue to have that conversation. If they don't check those boxes, I'm very, very quick to say no, that I'm not the right fit for them, and I will work to help get them connected to someone else that can better serve them. So I think it's from a consultant perspective, it's really important to be very clear on what your ideal prospect looks like. From the business owner side, you know, in today's world, change is coming at us faster and faster. And you look back on how things have progressed since 2020, and studies show that change is going to continue to come at us faster even in the next 4 or 5 years. So as a business owner, we have to be open-minded. We have to realize we can't continue to do things the way we've always done them because the world's changed. And so if you want to be relevant in 3 years and 5 years from now, you've got to be open-minded to new ideas from consultants and from your people.
Right. And from the consultant's perspective, it also means being comfortable saying no when you see that the prospect may not be your ideal client.
Correct. There's great power in that. And I've actually had business owners come back and ask the question, you know, why? What was it that I said or that I did that made you feel like I couldn't be a good fit for you? And when I explained that to them, it gave them a second chance to come back and kind of reposition their thoughts and how they wanted to move forward.
Thanks for sharing that. Chuck, why did you write the Family Business Blueprint?
David, I grew up in a family-owned business, and I saw a lot of things with the relationships family-wise. I saw a lot of things that worked well, and I saw a lot of things that did not. But as I've kind of worked over the through my career working with small and mid-sized business owners, I started doing some research, and what I was finding was that 70% of small businesses are failing between the founding generation and second generation. So when you look at kind of the longevity of a small business, we're losing the majority from 70% to 90% between founder and fourth generation. And I think that the small business, small and mid-sized companies, they play a major role in the success of this country from an employment perspective and from a commerce perspective. And so when you're losing 70% to 90% of businesses, that's not something that is sustainable long term. So I wanted to kind of really reposition myself at this point and use some of my real life experience of owning businesses, operating them, and also consulting with business owners to help them start to put a spotlight on that topic of succession planning and preparing for exit. Because most, I would say probably 40% of businesses in the U.S. today are owned by baby boomers, meaning the youngest is about 60 or 61. And there's a lot of them that are, you know, owners today that are in their 70s, and they're not prepared at this point for that next phase of life.
Yeah, why do you think that, you know, particularly business owners that have been in their business for a long time are not prepared for succession? Like, why do business owners usually wait too long to start dealing with succession planning?
I think a lot of this has to do with that's over the years, their identity, their value, and really their business is all tied up into who they are. And I think in a lot of small and mid-sized companies and family-owned businesses as well, the owners are really focused on the day-to-day activity, on the fires that they're having to work through, either with their people, with their customers, or, you know, other suppliers in the market. So they're being reactive in most of their decision-making and their daily activities. And what we have to do is we have to be able to help them understand that they need to have some margin where they can take a step back and look at things from a proactive and from a strategic standpoint. And I think I'm right now I'm consulting with a couple of dozen business owners as we speak, and then they're all in different phases of that process. But it really comes back to just getting them to stop and start to have that conversation. I had a business owner tell me the other day, I don't even want to talk about it because if I talk about that, it's just like me talking about essentially dying at this point. It's the end of my life. When in reality, it may be that, you know, you may be planning for the exit, which is going to come to bring about an exit for that chapter. But my goodness, there's so much life left to be lived after that. And being able to identify what their passion and their purpose is moving forward is really important and gives them comfort in those situations.
Yeah. How much does the succession planning process mean that the business owner is going to be totally separated from the business at some point, while the person is still active and interested in being part of the business?
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody has a different perspective on that. And so it's just, for me, it's as a consultant helping my clients get clarity around what that transition is going to look like. Some people, they want to transition completely out and be able to kind of be on the sidelines to be a sounding board or to be a mentor to the new leadership of the business. But then you have others that they still want to stay involved in other areas from a strategic standpoint. And so it's really just getting clear on, you know, what their desires and what their expectations are, and then starting to formulate a plan around that.
Yeah. Chuck, how does somebody like you with your expertise help these business owners succeed at succession planning so that they don't become one of the 70% where the business transition fails?
I think where I know where my strengths are and that is really working on the very, very front end of that process, as far as bringing a business owner and their, in this case, bringing their family together to have conversations around what they want this to look like. And I think that is probably the most important piece, because until they have agreement on what they want out of this succession or out of this exit, it's going to be a real battle and there's going to be a lot of tension along the way. So once we get them to a point where they're in agreement, then we have resources that outside of our company that can help, from a financial advisor to, you know, an attorney, or to a a business another business consultant that can help specialize in moving them forward. So it's not just having one person, but it's about helping them start and then bringing that team around them to be able to navigate through that process.
Yeah. Are there a few critical components or critical steps that they need to go through specifically when they're planning their succession?
I think that, yeah, there is. And part of this comes back to, they need to be able to identify, for example, who that successor is going to be. And then they need to look at, from the successor standpoint, what are their strengths and what are the areas that they need to work on and develop over a 1 to 3 year period so that they're more prepared to take on and be successful. The second thing is I think that it's not just, you can't just rely upon one person. You really need to bring some other leadership into and some coaches into that process as well, so that they almost have a board of directors that they can talk to and work with as they make decisions moving forward in the company.
How can peer groups help business owners navigate succession planning?
I am a huge advocate for peer groups, whether it be Vistage, C12, there's a lot of different peer groups out. And the thing that I love about them is the fact that a business owner, especially when they're working through sensitive topics like succession, they're able to come into a peer group and be able to be really transparent with them, because they've got another group of business owners, 10, 12, 15 business owners sitting at the table with them to get feedback from them and to be able to use them as their, I guess, really to be able to bounce ideas off of. But it gives them a lot of confidence that when they come away from that conversation with their peer group, that they know what track they're on and how they need to execute that. And then they can come back a month later, share what their experience was, and get some more feedback from them. So the investment into a peer group for a new business, particularly for the successor, I think is really, really, it brings great value to them.
I want to go back to something we talked about earlier. You know, you shared your backstory to Whitewater Consulting. I'd like to hear a little bit more about your own career besides you mentioned growing up in the environment of a family business. And maybe we could look at perhaps your largest career mistake as the jumping off point, because I know there's a story there.
My second business that I had, when I look back on this, it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. As I mentioned, I grew up in a family business. I was involved in that business for a couple of years. The business got sold and allowed my parents, my grandparents to retire and to enjoy life. For me, it really was kind of the starting point, because I was in my late 20s at that point. And there was five of us. We went together and we bought a manufacturing business. We were familiar with the industry. We were familiar with the facility. We knew that if we were able to get ownership of that, just with some minor tweaks, that we could turn that operation around and really make it into a success, especially from a financial perspective. We were successful in getting the ownership, and the first 18 months that we owned that business, we actually made enough in profit so we could have paid the facility off and it would have been clear in our names. We chose not to do that. We continued to reinvest those profits back into the business and continue to grow it. And the reality was, every year was just more and more successful. And I let pride, ego, greed really start to take a hold of who I was. I became a totally different person. I really was blinded to the risk that we were taking. So ultimately, we took money out of the company and invested it into other companies and other assets. We ended up losing that money. And so we went from being at the ownership level, being a big fish in a small pond, a small community that we were a part of. We were one of the largest employers. And we ended up having to sell that business to get out from underneath the debt that got created. So when I went through that, I was not prepared for the level of success that we had. I did not have coaches or mentors around me to help keep me grounded. And I let, just through that success, I just let pride and ego really take over. And again, I didn't really focus on how much of an issue this was going to cause for my immediate family, for the employees, and for their families as well. So we went from being really successful to absolutely being flat broke on our back. And it was when I landed with the thud in the valley from the fall from the mountaintop that it really hit me that, all right, this is not the way that I can't continue to live life this way, and we've got to make changes. So it was in the valley that I ripped the mask off and really got real with myself and started bringing, I brought some men into my life that were coaches and mentors for me. And we brought in, we actually created our own board of directors for myself to be able to keep me grounded, to be my guardrails as we began that second climb. And so it was really at that point that we got clarity on who I am as a person, what my values are, what my priorities are. And then we had the support around us to be able to make sure that we did not relive those same mistakes going forward. And I think that even as difficult as that was, David, to go through, I'm so grateful that I went through it at the stage of life that I was when it happened. Because some of the other guys that were involved in that, they were in their 50s and 60s at that same point. They didn't have the time to recover that I did. And so I was able to take the lessons learned and the wisdom that came from those mistakes and apply that into my life. And then I'm able to take that and be able to use that as I coach and mentor business owners in my consulting practice.
Yeah. So based on that experience, Chuck, and also a lot of the work that you have done as an advisor to family businesses, how do you find tapping into community supports your success?
For me, it's interesting. When I think about community, you know, here in Charlotte, there are so many different opportunities, different groups that you can be a part of to build your community. And what happens a lot of times, we go really, really wide as far as the number of connections that we make. I'm a believer in, I don't need to have 1,000 or 2,000 connections. I need a small group that I know, I trust, and we are able to really go deep in our relationship. And by doing that, I'm able to tap into them whenever I have needs. So I have on my personal board of directors, so a lot of those people, I've got five, but four of those five, they come from my community that I'm a part of. And it helps keep me grounded. So I have somebody in my work in that community that they are absolutely a truth teller to me. I have somebody that's a great listener, somebody that's a great connector. So I'm able to pull from that expertise and those relationships. But on the flip side of that, I'm also able to really focus in on and very intentional about finding ways to build value back to those individuals and into their business as well. So I think it's a two-way street, but it's just one that I cherish every one of those relationships that I have. And that brings so much joy and fulfillment to me, especially when I can see the success that they're having.
Chuck, based on your years of experience and all the different kinds of businesses you've been exposed to and you've been involved in, what's one thing a corporate refugee can do today that would help them move forward if their plan is after leaving corporate to be independent, have their own business, you know, particularly if it's in the same discipline that they've spent usually decades honing in the corporate, right, in the corporate environment, but then they go out on their own and this is the first time that they're actually running a business?
So I'm a believer, David, when it comes to regardless of what stage in life you're in. I think if we've spent so many years really focused on skills and development of skills and trying to get better in those areas. And I'm a huge believer today that if there's one thing that what a person can do is really to focus back in on and improve your level of emotional intelligence and becoming self-aware. And I think that right now, as whether I'm talking to a 25-year-old or talking to a 60-year-old, we have for so long, we have always focused on pushing the emotions and pushing our feelings down so that we can push through whatever issues are that we're dealing with. And I think that at some point, those emotions, if we continue to keep pressure on those, they find a way to create their own escape. And they surface in other areas. So until we can really get to know who we are, what our triggers are, what those emotions are, and why that happens, I think that until we do that, we're dealing with a really unstable foundation from which to grow. And I think once you get clear on that, then you can really understand whether or not consulting or going out and starting a business is really the right decision for you for the long term.
Very sound advice. Chuck, we've covered some very important topics regarding entrepreneurship. If someone wants to go deeper with anything we've discussed today or anything you've shared, or they want to learn more, access any resources you have, like your book, or get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
So they can go to my website, which is whitewaterconsulting.net, and they can find my contact information there. My personal email, if they would like to email me, is chuck@whitewaterconsulting.net. And I'm happy to have conversations, and I'm also happy to share copies of the book with those who might have interest.
Chuck, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau and share your insights. My guest has been the president of Whitewater Consulting, Chuck Cooper. Thank you, Chuck, for joining us.
Thank you, David.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Smashing the Plateau. Our mission is empowering people like you to do more of what you love and get paid what you're worth. Help us spread the message that you can connect passion with profit. Please share this episode with a friend, share it on LinkedIn, and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. I wish you much success in smashing your plateau. See you on our next episode.